Welcome to the Evolving HubSpot podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Creswick. Today, I'm joined by Hubble CEO, Darren Smith, as well as Jessica Packer and MC Bohr, who lead our North American team at Hubble. Together, we'll delve into HubSpot's latest pricing updates coming into play in March 2024. We explore how these changes affect users across different HubSpot hubs, including marketing, sales, and service, and discuss what this means for the future of HubSpot. Hello and welcome to the Evolving HubSpot podcast by Hubble Digital, a podcast where we explore the topics that matter the most in the world of HubSpot. I'm Matthew Creswick, and in this episode, I'm joined by three of my favorite people here at Hubble Digital. First of all, welcome back to the podcast, Darren Smith. Darren, for our listeners who haven't listened to the Evolving HubSpot podcast before and are here for the first time, perhaps you could do a small intro for yourself.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, great to be back. I am the group CEO at Hubble, based out of Cape Town most of the time.
Awesome stuff. Darren in the sunny sunshine of Cape Town at the moment. And we are also joined by Jess Packer. Jess, do you want to do a short introduction for yourself as well?
We'd love to. Thanks. My name is Jess. I'm the Chief Customer Officer and Managing Director for North America, and I am based in Vancouver, Canada.
Amazing stuff. Amazing. And last but not least, MC is also joining us from the US, a proper international podcast today. MC, can you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yeah, thanks, Matt. My name is MC. I'm our VP of sales for the US, and I am based in Chicago.
Amazing. Right. Well, let's crack into today's topic, which is all about reviewing, analyzing, and digging into HubSpot's pricing changes that they announced at the end of January. We are fortunate to be joined by three people on this call who are well in the weeds and, you know, kind of on the front line, speaking to customers, speaking to HubSpot prospects, speaking to people in the HubSpot ecosystem on a daily basis. So have lots of great information. I'm sure they're going to share around HubSpot's new pricing, what it means for customers, what it means for if you're looking to use HubSpot in the future. Now, maybe to set the scene, HubSpot's pricing has been relatively consistent for Hubble Digital as a partner who's been in the ecosystem for 10 plus years now. The HubSpot pricing has been relatively consistent in terms of, you know, charging on what hubs you're using and at a contact level and things like Sales Hub users, Service Hub users. For me personally, this change feels like probably the biggest pricing change that HubSpot have made since they've been in existence. Darren, maybe you can help kind of set the scene for us here. If you were to kind of summarize maybe where HubSpot's pricing has been, why you think HubSpot are making changes now, and kind of how does this maybe set them up against kind of other competitors in the market?
You've got to remember HubSpot's first, you know, almost decade of their existence, they were entirely focused on the small business. And initially, the first 5 years or so, that was just on the marketing user and a small business marketing user. So when you work in a small business, the need to be able to do other people's jobs and cover for them is high, and the level of trust and governance required is very low. So you are able to set up people with a single user license, and they can see other people's information, they can edit it, and that is a massive benefit. But as HubSpot has gone up market, they work with larger organizations, people that need to approve things, people that are only allowed access to certain types of information. And so their governance and security models have got much more advanced. And with that, why would you go off and pay for a full user when it's not required? So these new models are, I suppose, helping HubSpot grow up. It really makes companies think about the user licenses that they need. The last thing you would ever want is to give everybody super admin access. Yet that's what's been happening up until now, because it is just so easy with a HubSpot kind of Sales Hub or Service Hub or marketing license, you can just go and change anything. That isn't safe for a large organization. And then as with large organizations, people must, as I said, their managers and so on, that need to approve things, edit things, and why pay for a full license to do that? So I think this has got to do with HubSpot going up market. It's got to do with being able to compare apples with apples. It's so difficult when we are in competitive pitches against Salesforce or Microsoft Dynamics, where the users can't understand why their there's only one type of user type. And for marketing users, as an example, why do you get unlimited marketing users? So, you know, there's the old way, or the very tried and tested way of positioning the company. Nothing positions a company more than the price that they charge. And if you are cheap, you are seen as a cheap, easy, a small business solution. And if you are costly, that is where the quality comes in. You don't buy a Ferrari or a Lamborghini and that type of thing at cheap, exactly for that reason. So I think that's why HubSpot's doing it. I think for me, it's a very positive move going forward.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan. I'm furiously making notes, and we'll come back to a couple of things you've referenced in a little bit. But I think maybe before we dig into that, I guess maybe to give an overview and an oversight of the detail on the changes that have been made. Jess, if you were to kind of summarize what the changes are for people out there who are, you know, using HubSpot or considering moving to HubSpot in the near future, kind of what would they be?
Sure. So I guess the fundamental change is the introduction of this core seat. So the core seat gives you access to the products you're paying for as part of your subscription. And that includes the Smart CRM. So if you're paying for Marketing Hub and Operations Hub, that core seat will give you access to both the features available with both of those hubs. And effectively, it replaces the old free unlimited user approach that Darren's just referenced. And now you will pay on a per seat basis for all of the hubs. I think it's important, though, to note that the sales and service seats do stay in place. So effectively, you have this core seat that gives you kind of access to the general features of each of the hubs. And then you have, for any users where you require that elevated access to Sales Hub or Service Hub, then that those individuals would have what you have today, those sales and service seats. So I think the biggest change really is the concept of having seats for the Marketing Hub. That is, I guess, the kind of big shift that Darren has referenced. Effectively, it means that you will pay a base price as you do today, but that base price now includes a number of core seats within that. And the number of core seats you get included in that base price depends on whether or not you're paying for professional or enterprise. But as Darren's referenced, you do have the edit access. So this is basically for edit access users into the portal, whereas you do have that view only seat as well. So if alongside the core seat, HubSpot has a view only seat that allows you an unlimited number of users in the portal who can come in free of charge and have read only access to the platform. So that's great for exec teams, management teams that want to go in, maybe review things, maybe view some reports, but not ultimately edit anything. And I think the final change, just to reference, is seat unbundling. So what HubSpot have also done, and this is amazing in terms of giving people access to enterprise features, for example, or professional features sooner, is unbundling of seats. So you no longer have to pay for a minimum number of seats for Sales and Service Hub, Professional and Enterprise. And there's also no base fees that you will pay for that. So now you just pay for the seats that you need and you can get access to those higher tier features.
Cool. Thank you, Jess. That was a lot of detailed information there. So I guess if we maybe just try and dig into a couple of the points for emphasis here. So for emphasis in terms of, you know, the main changes, I suppose if I think about us at Hubble and the way that we work with our clients, one of the core things you mentioned was around this kind of move away from the idea that you just have like all of your HubSpot and all of your marketing team within HubSpot at no extra cost. So you pay for your Marketing Hub license and you can just chuck as many people in the system as you wish. That is changing now. So ultimately, if you have a really large marketing team, you need to decide how many of those people physically need a paid for seat within HubSpot and how many of those people can have access to HubSpot to do things like access a report or be able to see a graph or see a dashboard. I guess have I summarized that correctly in your view?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think one of the benefits is at the moment you have to go through this exercise when you purchase HubSpot of who needs access to Marketing Hub and who needs access to Sales Hub and all of this kind of, you know, you look at the hubs fairly individually, whereas this core seat allows you to look at it kind of from a platform perspective rather than a per hub basis.
Okay. Got you. Okay, MC, we'll move on to yourself quickly. And I guess maybe first question based on a couple of the things that has referenced. My main question for you is who wins and who loses here. Darren referenced that front, obviously, that in general, there's a kind of a positive feeling and a positive move for HubSpot to be making. I'm sure everyone, given the kind of breadth of HubSpot customers and size and success and stuff, aren't going to be pleased with this. But in your view, kind of who wins, who loses within this?
Yeah, I think that this is a really good move for a lot of larger companies that have big teams. The fact that you can do that unbundling and only pay for what you need, that's going to give a lot of companies much more flexibility, not just in the enterprise space, but also for smaller and mid-sized companies as well, because they may have been holding off on using the enterprise license because they don't have that full 10 number of seats that are required. So I think this is going to be positive for both smaller, mid-sized and large businesses. I suppose, you know, ways to think about it in terms of maybe some of the disadvantages that people have been able to take advantage of is just the fact that now there is that introduction of the marketing seat. However, it's important to remember that this is only applicable for new customers. So current customers are not going to be affected unless they opt in for this pricing model change. But again, I think that the way that the seats are structured, it gives a lot of flexibility in terms of accessibility, who needs access to what, can you get by with a core seat or a free seat versus needing a full paid seat. So again, I think it's going to be a really positive move overall and certainly helps bolster HubSpot in the market in terms of its positioning as, you know, moving up market.
Awesome. And MC, I guess just for absolute clarity, when we talk about the kind of unbundling of the service and sales seats, what we're talking about here is the idea that at the moment, if you were to purchase Sales Hub Enterprise or Service Hub Enterprise, you would be forced to purchase a minimum amount of seats on each side, right? So if you had if you wanted the features involved within Sales Hub Enterprise, but you only had two salespeople, you would have to pay for lots more seats than you're actually using. Is that correct?
Exactly. So I think then, you know, when you look at some of the smaller and mid-sized businesses that have been using HubSpot or considering HubSpot, that is one of the, I guess, barriers to entry to some of the more enterprise level features that everybody can use and take advantage of, regardless of what size company you are, but it would come with a much heavier price tag than if you just needed to purchase two seats, which you could do now.
Okay, sure thing. So I guess in general, this is obviously very new. The new pricing structure comes in, I believe, a month today. So we're 5th of Feb at the moment, 5th of March, the new pricing comes in. As MC referenced, existing HubSpot customers aren't going to be moved over unless they opt into. I guess just therefore looking to the future, obviously this is a big change HubSpot have made within their pricing. I'm sure it hasn't been something they haven't obviously given a lot of thought and focus and trial and testing into. I guess maybe I'm actually going to ask each of you what you think kind of the future holds for HubSpot in terms of this new pricing model, you know, what you expect to see in the future in terms of different size companies being able to use HubSpot. So Darren, maybe we'll start with yourself. We'll go with Jess and then MC, so we'll give them a minute or so to ponder. But Darren, we'll start with you.
I think first of all, the obvious thing is in buying HubSpot, you're going to need to really consider what your users are going to be doing and who those users are. I think a seat that we haven't spoken about is the partner seat. So us as a HubSpot partner, we get access to your portal to do all the things that one of the administrators would be able to do. So it really makes it, you need to weigh up that cost benefit kind of exercise and analysis. Does it make sense for me to put a partner on retainer who can manage all the governance and everything within our HubSpot portal, and therefore I have fewer users, or do I give specific people in the organization different access rights? So I think there's going to be a lot more decision and consideration around that. I think this also allows HubSpot to innovate further using their enterprise and pro licenses. One of the key things, for example, is HubSpot isn't charging for all the AI features that it has launched. Those are just getting baked into the pro and enterprise licenses. So as MC was saying, you can now have an organization that's maybe a pro level organization that can upgrade to enterprise because they need, say, 205 seats instead of having to go in the blocks of 10. And then, of course, I think increasingly there is the kind of that manager level, that seat, that core seat, which is effectively a half price seat. So I think, yeah, overall, a lot more thought around the governance, a lot more features that I think are going to be launched. And you've got to remember the one key benefit of HubSpot that we've seen over the last year is cost consolidation. So companies looking at sales and MarTech stack and seeing, well, actually HubSpot can do all these things. And so although you're looking at a per seat price, when you compare that to all the things that you can actually cancel because you no longer need those other SaaS tools, there is a significant cost saving.
Cool. Thank you, Darren. Jess, anything to add?
I think the simplicity of it is a real win. I mean, I think personally for us having pricing conversations with customers, I'm excited for the way in which this pricing change simplifies the structure and kind of better aligns, I guess, coming back to what Darren had mentioned at the very beginning, better aligning kind of value with the products that our customers are purchasing within the whole kind of suite of HubSpot tools.
Cool. Thank you, Jess. And lastly, MC, to bring us to a wrap, anything to add?
I think, you know, what I see is that HubSpot is obviously very customer-centric. That's one of their core values, is to be really focused on the customer. So I think that this move showcases that they really are trying to make things more flexible, easier for the customer, make a better buying experience. So I think that is really displayed nicely here.
Cool. Good stuff. Well, Darren, Jess, MC, thank you, all three of you, for joining us today. Like I said, the pricing changes are about a month out from HubSpot actually triggering them for new customers. So no doubt we'll be talking more about this over the next few weeks and over the next few months and how that kind of plays out in reality. But thank you for listening. As ever, you can subscribe and like and share the podcast as far and wide as we can. But to wrap it up, Darren, Jess, MC, once again, thank you for joining us on the Evolving HubSpot podcast.